Well, the word's good. Amen. Are you excited for the word this morning? Amen. Thank you, Jeff, for helping me. I'm thrilled for what God has for us this morning. And if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it up on the screen for you. But this is the best part of your week right here. It wasn't even opening presents. This is the present from heaven. Praise God. And He loves us so much. You know, the Bible is a book of answers. It's a book of help. You know, we've had so many people, my life included, that have come into the church, you know, facing so many different things. And, you know, God didn't send Jesus, give everything for you, prepare this place in heaven, mansions, talks about peace up there, no more tears, just joy and wonderful blessings. He didn't save you, go through the trouble of saving you, and then let you or want you to live a life where he becomes a deadbeat father or a dad that's not interested. No, he gave you heaven, but also wants to give you heaven on earth. Amen. And he loves and cares so much about you. And Jesus ought to be the wake-up call for people, especially Christians that have received Jesus. It ought to be the wake-up call that if you're struggling with your finances, struggling in your mind or in your body, it ought to be the wake-up call that's like, hey, if he went through the trouble to send Jesus to save me, how easy would it be to heal my body? How easy would it be to provide for me? And the answer is it's easy, but not only how easy would it be, but how much would he want to do that for you? If people think he's okay with me being sick, wait a minute, he demonstrated through Jesus that he would give everything for you. Well, he's okay with me being poor. What are you talking about? Once you receive Jesus, you've become his child. He's not a deadbeat father. Religion and churches and people and family members and Hollywood and the media have made God out to be something that he isn't. But the Bible says that he's a God of love and mercy, that he's a God of healing, that he's a God of provision, that he's a God of favor, that he's a God of miracles, that he loves you so much he'll do anything to see you blessed. Praise God. And that's where people struggle a lot of times. This is the appetizer to the message. And what meal is not made complete without appetizers, right? And so anyways, he was willing to do all that and give you Jesus so you could be blessed in all these other areas. He cares so much about you, and it's not enough just to know that God can heal and that God can provide and that God can do amazing supernatural things. You have to know that he wants to for you. And Jesus ought to be the wake-up call telling you, I'm not okay with you being sick anymore. I'm not okay with you being broke. I'm not okay with you being tormented and troubled in your mind. I'm not okay with that. He said, I gave Jesus in Romans 8:32, said he didn't withhold his only son, and that with him, through that sacrifice, would freely give you all things. Praise God. Amen. So I'm thrilled about what we're going to be talking about today, but let's pray and believe God for the right words. Father, help me. Help us to receive. Help me to say the right things. Father, we're not here to play church, to go through the motions. We've done that enough our lives. We've done that enough in churches. We're here to get something. We're here to walk away with our lives changed. We're here to have an encounter with you. And Father, everyone that had an encounter with you in the Bible, whether it was you or through your son Jesus, they walked away different. They walked away helped. They walked away changed or with hope or with answers. And Father, that's what we're looking for this morning. So fill my mouth with words from heaven. I thank you that when I speak, they'll not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Father, I thank you things are going to come out of my mouth this morning that are going to hit such bullseyes and strike such chords with people in their own hearts, so specific to their situation and circumstance. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them of how much you love them and how much you have a better tomorrow for them. But also, Father, it'll be a sign unto them that this is a place where people can come and hear from heaven concerning their lives. So we reverence that, Father. We honor what's about to take place in Jesus' name. Amen. But in Matthew 11, verse 28, this is Jesus talking. My Bible would have the red letters. Of course, the screen wouldn't, but this is Jesus speaking. He says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look what Jesus is saying to the people that become his or receive him. He's saying that life, once you come unto me, ought to have a different flow than it had before, and it ought to be a flow of rest. Did he not say, I will give you rest? He didn't mince words. He didn't wasn't confused when he said it. And then in verse 29, it goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So there is some learning that needs to take place to walk in this flow. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he says, take that yoke upon you. Take that burden upon you. Well, what's the burden of him? The light and easy flow. God is saying through his son Jesus, when you come unto him or receive him and learn of him, because you got to learn of him, that the flow of your life ought to be light and easy. Well, I know a lot of times as Christians, I know for me until I learned some things and got to be able to step into that flow, a lot of times my life was not light and easy. And I know from being around Christians' lives who are born again, who are children of God, who are heaven bound, they would testify life is not very light and easy. Life is filled with hardships. Life is filled with nothing but turmoil. It's one thing after the other, waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, just expecting bad things. It's one thing after another financially, one thing after another physically, one thing after with your business, with your family, so on and so on. Sad song, right? I know. And that's the way a lot of people live, stressed, depressed, fearful, worried, anxious, all the things that are not light and easy, all the things that are the flow of the enemy and not the flow of what God has to offer people. Well, we need to change some things to get into the light and easy flow. Why? Light and easy in life is so much better than hard and bogged down and weighed down. It's supposed to be that way. You know, we're talking about the way it's supposed to be or the way that it can be. Because I know a lot of people, because of their experiences, think it can't be that way. Then Jesus is a liar. Or you're the only one he didn't include. Or maybe you need to learn some things. I grew up, my dad, you know, he was expert walleye fisherman. People would actually want to pay him to take them out. And he's just so good at it. But he was terrible with patience with it. And so it turned me off. Didn't want anything to do with it. And so I hadn't fished for a long time. And my father-in-law, he's a really, really expert, really good bass fisherman, you know, been in tournaments and things and done pretty well at times and knows what he's talking about, all the equipment and things. And so I wanted to kind of get into it with my kids growing up. I wanted to learn some things, you know, and help them so we could take them out and enjoy them. They enjoy that. They seemed to show an interest in that. So I remember going out with him the first time, year or two ago, you know, and watching him with his pole and the way he would work the lines and tie the knots and how he would reel and cast and just everything seemed so light and easy in this flow. And then for me, I'm getting tangled up and getting stuck on things and not knowing how to tie the knots right. And it's just hard work. It's hard fishing. It's just, you know, what do I do with the bail? What if the line gets tangled? How do, you know, all the different things. What do I do with the lure? It just wasn't very much fun because it was hard. It wasn't light and easy. But what I saw was what it can be like and what it's supposed to be like if I would just learn some things. And as I've learned some things, I'm nowhere near where my dad was or nowhere near where my father-in-law is. But it's a lot lighter and a lot easier now because I learned some things and I've seen what it's supposed to be like or what it can be like. And I'm telling you that life can be light and easy going forward. But you know, when we approach New Year's and things, a lot of people, the gym memberships skyrocket. Because everybody, you know, this is the year I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to do better, you know, and so I want to help you today with a Christian weight loss program. Amen? Because spiritually, we need to lose some weight going into the new year, and God's offering it to us if we're going to live light and easy. Go to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Light and easy is the flow, but let's be honest. Maybe it's our own lives we're talking about, but many Christians, they're not living light and easy. They're weighted down with things. God wants you to be free. I'm so thrilled that this is what He put on my heart to preach today for our last service of the year, going into a new year. Why? New year, new flow. New year, new way of operating. Praise God. And it's available to you. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says this, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us," here we go, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us or hold us back, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So he uses a natural analogy of a race. And to think about a race, when somebody's in a race, those Olympians, when they're in a race, swimming in a race or running in a race, they wear the least amount of clothes and stuff possible that they'll allow to put on TV and for our eyeballs to see. I mean, you gotta be careful with some of those men swimmers. Hopefully there's no wardrobe malfunctions. I mean, I'm hardly wearing anything. And the sprinters, you know, they have skin tight stuff. Why? No jewelry on. They take everything off. Why? They need as much freedom to be weightless as possible. To what? Run the race to what? Win and get to the prize. Well, spiritually, there's a race that we're running in our lives. And at the end of every race, there's an award. There's a prize. And God wants us to get to that prize. But if we're weighted down with things, we aren't going to make it there. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of things that God has offered Christians because they're weighted down with these things. They're not getting to the finish line of their destination of healing. They're not getting to the finish line of that prosperity, that abundance, that increase, that peace, that joy, that light and easy flow. Why? They're weighted down. And he says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, there can be weights in Christians' lives that aren't necessarily sins, but every sin in a Christian's life, is also a weight holding you back. And today what we're going to look at, the thing I'm going to talk about, is not only a weight, it's also a sin which is weighing you down. But notice he says to lay aside. The Amplified says this, strip off and throw aside. Strip off and throw aside every weight and the sin which holds us back. What's he saying? In your race, you don't want to have these things weighing you down, or you're not going to get to the finish line. You know, when I played baseball, one of the things you do in the on-deck circle, they had a thing called a donut, and it's just a round, heavy, I don't know what it was made out of, metal, plastic, rubber, whatever, and you put it on the end of the, put it down through the handle of the bat down, and then it would get, as the bat got thicker towards the end, it would stop at the end of the bat, and you'd swing that in the on-deck circle, and you'd swing that weight, and what it's attempting to do is to get it so when you get the bat, your bat speeds quicker and the bat's lighter. It feels a lot lighter when you take that weighted thing off and go swing. But you never walked from the on-deck circle with the donut on your bat and stood there and tried to hit someone that's throwing 90 miles an hour and it's hard enough to get around on them and swing and make contact, and then you put a weight on there? No, you drop that weight, you hit that bat against the ground, it loosens it up and the donut drops, and you go down and you're loosened up and ready to hit. And that's what he's saying, strip off, lay aside, cast these things, praise God. Now go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, and we're going to see exactly what we're talking about here today. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Amen. God's trying to help you to get a new flow. You might as well try a different flow. It hasn't worked for you this far. For those of us that are struggling still, what do you have to lose? I remember when I was talking to a lady years ago about how to change your finances. I said, do what the Bible says to do, which includes tithes and offerings, you know. And that trips people up because they start calculating things and the devil gives them thoughts. And she's broke and broke year after year. And I said, lady, what do you have to lose? You're already poor. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how the devil lies to people? Yeah. Don't do it God's way. Keep doing it your way, yet your way is continually failing and failing and failing. Why not just try God's way? Why not just do what he says to do? She came back to me a few months later in tears, bawling her eyes out, said, Pastor Mike, she said, I heard you tell me that, and then I heard you preach a message, she said, and you said in the message, what if you just dared to believe God? What if you actually just did what God said to do? And she said, I did. I started writing my tithe check and my offering check and putting it in, and it was so hard on my flesh and my mind. And she's bawling. She says, and I can't tell you the supernatural increase that started popping in my life. I said, I know, it works. It works, amen? Praise God. And so why not just go a new flow in a new way, amen, and do it what he says to do and get into this light and easy flow? 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Now remember, in Hebrews, he said, cast aside everything that's weighing you down. Sins are weights. Here it is, verse 7, casting. Well, it kind of sounds like what the Amplified said in Hebrews when it said to lay aside every weight. The Amplified said to cast it off, to strip it off, to throw it aside. Amen? And look what he says here. Casting, that means what? Getting rid of it. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Can we pull that up in the Amplified, please? What does that mean, our care? Well, are you ready for me to step on all your toes now? Remember, you cast it off. Why, it's a weight. It's holding you back from what? Your destination. Casting the whole of your care. Now listen to what your cares are. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Look at what the Bible is telling you is a weight in your life. And I'm going to show you how much of a weight it is in your life and how much you can't afford this in your life. But right now, if you're worried about anything in your life, if you're concerned, anxious, fearful, fretting about anything in your life, you will never get into the flow of light and easy. It will be impossible for you. Why? He told you what you're to do with all your cares, all your worries, all your concerns, all your fears, all your anxieties. You're not supposed to carry them. He's supposed to carry them. But let's be honest. Come on. How many of us walked in here this morning, sat down completely free in mind, or laid down last night and didn't worry about anything? Hopefully there's a lot of people that could testify to that, but I guarantee there's a whole lot of people. You're worried about your money. You're worried about where the money's going to come from. You're worried about your kids. You're stressed out about your job, about your business. You're anxious about something. Come on. It's like chaining a weight around you and slowing yourself down from your destination or keeping you from it. You put enough weight on somebody, they ain't going to be able to move. They're never going to be able to keep going forward in their race. Come on. So today, we lose weight. Amen. And we go into the new year changed. And we go into the new year lighter and easier flow. And we maintain it. And I'm going to show you how to do it and how to maintain it. You say, pie in the sky, Pastor Mike. No, this is reality. Yeah. This is what God has offered his children, a light and easy flow. Okay. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. It's light and easy. You're going to like it. Yeah. But a lot of Christians are like, oh, I got a heavy cross to bear, burdens to bear. I don't know what Bible you're reading. That's not the flow Jesus offered me. Amen. Amen. When you carry weight, you know, you can look at it in a natural body, you know. A lot of people's problems and things, bodies start breaking down. What? When they're carrying weight that they shouldn't carry, right? The body's not meant to carry that amount of weight. Well, spiritually, same thing. You're not supposed to carry worries. You weren't made for it. You weren't supposed to carry fears and anxiety. I know that's normal in 2021 life in America and the way we're brought up as humans, that we're supposed to worry, be anxious, and how could you not? But you weren't meant for that. You weren't supposed to carry that. When you carry around weight that you're not supposed to, it always leads to things breaking down and falling out. I was on a moose hunt years ago in Newfoundland, and I didn't get one, but it was actually Pastor Tim that had gotten a moose. He's the pastor of the Jamestown Church. And I was on a moose hunt, and it's such a long story. I'll just break it down to maybe fill in the blank some other time, but it ended up where we were in a cabin in a spike camp set up. That's where you just kind of set up, like 13 miles from where we flew a plane in to get to. So we are in the middle of nowhere, and then we go even further, and like we're looking at places I don't even know if human beings have ever seen before. I mean, there's caribou that are letting me pretty much walk right up to them because they don't know what I am. They've never seen a human before. So we're out in the middle of nowhere. And it just happened to be that we're out there, you know. I never stunk so bad in my life. You know, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they say, by now, you know, he's been dead for how long? He stinks now. I know what that's like. You know, I don't think I showered for 4 or 5 days because just being, there's nowhere to shower out there, you know. And I couldn't wait to get back and take a shower, you know. I had to get the skill saw out and get a sander and get stuff off me, you know. But anyways, I'm out there and Pastor Tim shot one, and it just so happened, again, to fill in the blank for you another time, but where it's just me and an older gentleman. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen how big a moose is. Well, we're 13 miles out there. There's no four-wheelers. There's no nothing getting us out there. We're packing that thing out until we can get it to a place where we can bring a four-wheeler in. And so I'm there with this guy, and I ended up being in a place that I shouldn't have been in. They apologized after. It's just the way the story worked out. But all you need to know is I was in a place where I had to carry weight that I could not handle. It was way too heavy for me. And you're quartering that moose up and throwing it on my back. And he said, now take it and walk this far to where you're at. And I get that on my back and I can hardly move. And this is a true story. I had to go down a little dip and up. And when I got down that dip, I was so afraid to lose my balance because I knew if I go over, I'm not getting back up. And I did. I lost my balance and I fell over. And so like I'm laying on the back ground like a turtle with a shell. And I'm trying to get up. That's a true story. I'm on my back like a turtle, and I'm flailing. Well, how did I get myself in that predicament where I can't move, where I can't go anywhere, where life's tough, where life's hard? Carrying weight I shouldn't have carried. Should have never put that amount of weight on my back. And I paid a price for it. And we'll let you imagine how I got out of that. It'd be more fun in your mind to imagine that. But anyways, it happened. And when Christians are carrying these things, you don't have it in you to live in God's light and easy flow carrying the weight of worry, fears, and anxieties. You're not cut out for it. You're not strong enough to do it. You never were meant to do it, praise God. Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 6. Why is this such a concern when it comes to these fears, worries, anxieties? Well, remember what James chapter 1 and verse 6 says? Just think all the poor people that don't have video live stream to see what just happened. That's lost and gone forever. It's just right up here. But let him, look at this, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. So God is telling people, what you're asking, you want to receive from me, it better be in faith. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. Look at this. Let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. Do you see why it's important that you maintain a faith flow? Because God says, my promises, the faucet gets turned off when you're not in faith. Don't let anyone think they'll receive anything of me if they're not in faith. Why do you think your pastor bangs the drum on faith so much? Because if we're a church where the promises of God are really going to become a reality, the promises of God do not come from God just dumping them and heaping them on you. Even though he's willing and wants to do that, his promises are yes and amen. It comes by the person that has faith for them. So when you're in doubt and unbelief for your healing, you won't get it. When you're in doubt and unbelief and worry about your finances, it's going to elude you, prosperity is. It is. And so that's why it's so important to be in faith. But you need to know something. When you're walking around worried and anxious and stressed and fearful, you are not in faith. And when you are not in faith, you are not in the flow of receiving what God has for you. Go to Mark 4 and verse 35, I'll show you. We just carry these things like it's nothing and it's normal. How can I not worry about my kids? You better figure out how not to worry about your kids. Well, how can I not worry about my money? You better figure out how not to worry about your money if you want God's help. Amen. Well, how can I not worry about what the doctor told me? You better figure out how not to worry. I remember a gentleman called me years ago, and naturally, it was a naturally bad situation, Mark 4, verse 35. And the first words out of his mouth were, Pastor Mike, they have screwed up my pension so bad, and I just got a letter, or something happened, or I just got a letter. He had just, not too long ago, retired. He said, I just got a letter stating that my pension is cut from this to this. Now, eventually, we believe God, and it all got worked out, and I believe he actually ended up getting an increase. But at the time, naturally, it looked like, I'm going to have to get rid of my house. They're going to foreclose my house, foreclose on my car. And naturally, it looked terrible. And naturally, it was true. It was right on the paper there. And the first words out of his mouth was, Pastor Mike, I'm so afraid. And I said, stop. I said, you better change that right now. Because you need God's help on this. Because you can't figure it out, and I can't figure it out. But you need God's help, and you ain't going to get it being in fear. Look at Mark 4, verse 35. And I know what that feels like. It feels like, man, Pastor Mike, that's harsh. Wait and see how harsh your sweet Jesus is. Oh, pastor's too bold and to tell people that. Why doesn't he just coddle me and pet me? Because that's not how you're going to get to the other side. Look at your sweet Jesus here in Mark 4, verse 35. The same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let's pass to the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, he took them even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. A naturally, something you could see and feel, reason to panic. A hurricane storm filling up the boat. The boat's full of water. And look at what verse 38 says. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. What's that called? The flow of light and easy. Rest in a storm. Is that possible? It is. Jesus said, come learn of me. I'll show you how to be light and easy in the storm. Come on. And it says here, they awoke him and he was asleep on a pillow. And they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Or don't you care? Don't you give a rip? Does it even matter to you that we're dying here? That tells you the level of the test. This wasn't a boo-boo. This wasn't, you know, I can't fill up my gas tank this week. No, no, no. This is on the spectrum of tests and trials. This is the worst. What's worse than thinking and being convinced you're dead? Nothing worse than that. Well, what's your sweet Jesus? Think about them. Because would we say when they said, Master, we're going to die? Do you think there's any anxiety in that statement? Do you think there's any fear in that statement? Do you think there's any worry in that statement? Oh, absolutely. We're dying. Help us. Wake up. They're scared. They're afraid. They're worried. Concerned. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. The wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said unto them. Now remember who them are. Men that left everything to follow him around and help him fulfill his ministry. Right? You would think, well, he's got to walk on eggshells with them to keep his buddies around and to keep his ministry team around. No. Well, he's sweet Jesus, certainly in the time when they thought they were going to die, he's just going to grab them and hold them and say, boys, it's going to be okay. I'm here now. No. He said unto them, in a life or death situation, why, was the first words out of his mouth, why are you afraid? And the natural response would be, duh, I'm dying. Do you think he knew that they felt that way? Yes. And it didn't stop him in a life or death situation to say to them, why are you afraid? Why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Because Jesus knew going forward, I got to teach these guys something. I'm not always going to be in their boat of life. Naturally, they're going to have to, he's always with us, but we have to do the word. We have to act to get him, his support and his help. I'm not always going to be here, so I need to teach you boys that when you're facing something, there's no natural help. The worst thing you can do is enter into a relationship with fear and worry and anxiety. And Jesus said, why would you do this? Why would you choose this route as your answer? So guess what? It must be a choice. Don't believe the lie, but I can't help but worry. Yeah, you can. When you understand that worry, fear, and anxiety are from the enemy, stop giving it so much power. When you say, I can't control that. Oh, so now the devil and his stuff is stronger than you? Bible says the greater one's on the inside of me, that the devil's under my feet. It's the truth. We have to reprogram our brains. And Jesus is saying, why would you do that? Why would you do that? And you know what he's saying to all of you today? Because your answer would be, well, the doctor's report. And he's saying, why though? Why would you pick that route? You need my help. You're not going to get my help that way. But my kids are going in this situation in the courts, and I do this with the fan and my business and the money and all this. That's why. And Jesus is saying, I know, but why would you choose that route? That's not how you're going to get help. He's saying to every single one of you, for every single situation, whether it's on the boo-boo scale or on the life or death scale or anywhere in between, he's saying to you, why are you worried about that? You know the definition of worry is? When you're thinking about it. When you're replaying it over and over in your mind, constantly talking about it, you know, can't sleep, pacing the floor, it's there all the time. You're worried about it. And my question to you, just like Jesus, why are you doing that? Because you can't say, well, it's because of this, because Jesus didn't care what the test was. Wrong response. You chose wrong. Now, why would he say that that's the wrong response? Why are you afraid? And now he tells us and clues us in. How is it that you, worrier, fearful, anxious, concerned person, have no faith? Why is that a problem? We just looked at verses. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, Peter, Satan desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. He said, the devil's after you, Peter. You know what Jesus said? Peter, I've prayed for you. What did he pray? I pray that your faith, Peter, your faith fails not. Why? Jesus said, my faith can't change your life, Peter. The disciples' faith can't change your life. Your wife's faith can't change your life. Your family's life can't change your faith. Faith can't change your life. Your faith will change your life. And Jesus said, I've prayed that your faith fails not. Well, why is it so important that we have faith? Because we can't receive without it. And he just told them, why in a situation when you need help from God and you can't do it, why would you choose the route that God's not going to be on? And all of you that are facing financial and physical and family situations that are impossible, when you choose to worry and stress and to be fearful and anxious, you're choosing the route that offers you no help from God. And that's why Jesus was so stern with them in a time when they were scared out of their mind. He said, wrong, wrong. And I'm here to tell you, you want change? You got to get rid of this weight of worry. You got to get rid of this weight of anxiety. And things. Is it possible? Yes, I'm going to help you with that this morning in the little time we have left. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 25. Praise God. What is this Christian weight loss today? What are we doing? Getting rid of some weight. If you think your healing is going to come supernatural and you're sitting there worried about it, God's not involved. Oh, my finances, they just have to change. But I just don't know where the money's going. I can't believe it. I'm just thinking in my head, oh, it's going to happen. I'm lose my house. You handcuff God from helping you. And that's why Jesus is like, this is not how you act in a test and trial. What did I say? Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus says, look at this. Take no thought for your life. Can we just real quick pull that up in the Amplified? I just want to see that first line in the Amplified. Because what does that mean, take no thought? That's a little blind to us in the King James, but therefore I tell you, here we go, stop. Do you think the Bible, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? The Bible is ever living. That means Jesus, when he told these people, stop something, because they're doing it wrong. Guess what he's telling you this morning if you're doing this? He's holding up a stop sign. Stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. Woohoo! First of all, you can go back to the King James, thank you. First of all, what did he tell you to do? Stop it. Stop it. You've heard me mention this many times, but it's true still. We still run right through them. Why aren't things changing? Why light and easy flow? Yeah, right, Pastor Mike. 2021 wasn't light and easy for me. 2022 can be. Are you constantly running through stop signs? Go ahead and try that naturally. Well, those are just there for suggestions. Well, if I decide I want to stop, I'll stop. Try it. You might get away with it for a while, but you make a lifestyle of running through stop signs, it will catch up to you. And you'll get hurt, you'll have your finances will be hurt, your body be hurt, hurt somebody else, get in a whole mess of trouble. Why? Running through stop signs. Do you know how many people walk out of here on a Sunday, get into their car, and start going right through the stop signs? Oh, the money, oh, my body, oh, my kids, oh, this. What am I going to do? Lay there tonight. Running through stop signs. How do you expect to not get hit? Running through what Jesus told you not to do. He said, stop it. Stop it. So guess what? When God says to do something and you don't do it, that's a sin. Maybe you didn't know this, but your worry, your anxiety, your fear, they're sins. And they're weights. Oh, I know we think of adultery and we think of stealing and we think of killing and we think of, you know, the big ones. No, no, no. Anything done outside the boundaries of what God says to do is called sin. And the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. You keep running through those stop signs and worrying when Jesus is telling you. He's being so kind to you to say, you need to knock it off. You need to knock it off. Praise God. Now, not only do we want to stop it, but we want to follow his directions here. And I want to show you something that will open your eyes. In verse 25, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life. Now, the Amplified said, stop being perpetually uneasy and anxious, concerned, worried. But look what he says here about your life. What does that mean? Your life. That means it includes every single area of your life. Because what is the thought? Well, okay, I won't worry about my finances, but there's no way I can stop worrying about my children. Your children are your life. He's telling you, go to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. He's telling you it's never okay under any circumstance, under any situation, to ever enter into worry and fear. And I know you hear that. People say, yeah, but he doesn't know about my situation. We already showed you on the spectrum, the worst to the smallest. He's saying, wrong response. And he said what? Take no thought. Be not worried about anything in your life. You know what you need to do out there that you naysayers out? Stop fighting against the Bible. When your pastor preaches something, stop throwing in the yeah, but. Yeah, but. No, no, no. God said what he said, and he meant what he meant. If he said to stop doing it for your whole life, not only did he mean it, but he also shows us it's possible then. Stop trying to make yourself seem so darn special in the devil's kingdom that things are so bad for me that God's word doesn't work for me. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. Stop fighting me. That's what we talked about in the offering message. You know why people don't see miracles? They fight God. He said, I want to deliver you. And people say, I can't be delivered. I want to heal you. I'll never be healed. Why are you fighting him? If he says stop worrying, then just say, okay, it must be possible. How do I do this? Doesn't matter what I'm facing. It should represent or offer you freedom today. Can you imagine living a life light and easy? It'll never happen till you take care of this problem. Philippians 4 and verse 6, look what he says. Be careful for nothing. Again, let's go Amplified, King James. I know what you're all thinking. Why do you even preach out of the King James? You always just read it from a different translation anyways. I don't know. I'm stuck in my ways. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. That's God's word. Now, when God wrote that, he's already been to your future and back. Guess what? God said that, and Jesus said that, knowing on December 26, 2021, what you're facing. And he already said, don't fret about it. Don't worry about it. Your whole life. So you need to drop that stubbornness, that wall of defensiveness, and say, yeah, but my situation is, oh, you special thing, you. Your situation's so much stronger than God's word, I know. You tell us all about it, right? How big your mountain is. Well, God's bigger. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Anything the world throws at you, God's greater. So you need to knock that off. Whenever I like to tickle Abby, you know, and she'll say, knock that off, Dad, knock that off. You need to knock it off. And the other day, she threw in knock it off knucklehead. How does she even know? I don't know where she heard that word. Knock it off, you knucklehead. That's what she said to me. Go real quick to Matthew 6, 27. I want to show you some things. I'm almost done. Matthew 6. Now, I don't know how to take that. I said, I'm almost done, and Jeff said, that's good. That's good. That's real good. So I'm not sure what he meant there, but anyways. If you can't even count on your head usher anymore, who can you count on? Matthew 6 and verse 27. I want to show you that the things you're worried about, you're worried because there's something naturally in your life that's scary looking. That's hard, that's difficult, not denying that. But you need to know something, that when you worry, you're not just doing nothing for your life, you're actually making your life worse. He says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? What's he saying? Which of you by, what the Message Bible says, which of you by fussing in the mirror can make yourself an inch taller? And there's so much I want to say right now, and it's Christmas. So I'm just going to stop there and just say, you know, I'll just use myself as an example. Although, we'll just leave it there. What's he saying? I could sit there and think about and complain and want to be taller. Why can't I be? And it's not going to do anything for me. You can sit there and replay in your mind over and over and over again what you're going through and talk about it and stress about it, and it won't change it. So why do it? Actually, what you're doing is you're fellowshipping with the wrong thing. Why are you fellowshipping with how you can't when you have someone in you that can? Why would you fellowship with that? Why would you allow that to dominate your thought life? Now go to 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Look at this now. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. Here we go. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. He's talking about pride and humility here. Verse 6 goes on to tell us, so we already found out that God resists pridefulness. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you or lift you up in due time. Well, how do we do that? Well, notice at the end of verse 6, we have a colon, right? Colon. See, I learned my lesson. So that means the thought's not over yet. So he's saying, the way to go is humble yourselves, get lifted up. Well, how do we humble ourselves to get lifted up? Verse 7 tells us, casting all your care on him. It's actually an act of pride to sit there and worry about it, because when you sit there and worry about it, you're saying, I need to figure this out. Humility says, I can't figure it out. It's yours. And humility, or humble people, get lifted up and exalted, right? So how are we humble? We cast our cares onto him. We can't do this. We need your help. Well, if you go back to verse 5, what does it say at the end of verse 5? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. It's like these worries and cares and fears that you're not supposed to be carrying are already hindering you and holding back. It's like the person at the gym that's already lifting a weight, or you throw that weight on my back and I already can't lift it. It's like, okay, things are really hard and things are really tough now. It's like adding more resistance, adding more weight to it. You already can't do it. It's just getting worse and harder for you. You are now not only not getting God's assistance, you are actually getting God's resistance when you're prideful. What's prideful? I'm going to worry about this thing. I'm going to stress about this thing. And he's saying, cast on me, humble yourselves, and I'll lift you up. So you're not helping yourself. You can't change it, and you're not helping yourself. You're making it worse for you. Now, I want to close with this. It's time for the doing in verse 7 here. Because there has to be a doing of this, right? He said to cast all of your care. In the Amplified, said cast the whole of your care. Philippians 4 said, be anxious for nothing. So what you're to do at some point, if you want to be a doer of this word and get this weight off you, you know, it always feels good to lose some weight, right? You feel a little lighter, your clothes fit better, you feel better about yourself. When you can get this off of you, it's so freeing. You have to get in private with him. And once and for all, what are the things that are troubling me? What are the things, if I'm being honest with myself, I'm worried about? I'm thinking about it. I'm concerned. I'm fearful. I'm scared. I'm stressed about. What are those things? Okay, they're not for me to carry. And actually, it's lack of faith to do so. And I'm hindering my help from God. I'm handcuffing him. I need to cast it onto him. Well, what that looks like is, Father, I have been worried about that financial situation. I have been worried about that physical thing. It stressed me out. The doctor's report, I'm afraid. But I know that I need your help. I need your faith. So once and for all, Father, I'm going to cast it onto you. I cast that care. He said, give it to me. Now, you give it to him. You have to understand something. Circumstances in life and the enemy are going to try to get you to take it back. Why? The devil wants you. The spirit of fear comes from the devil, not God. So the devil's always trying to get you back in fear. So what's he going to do? Once you cast that, the devil's going to bombard you with thoughts about your money, about your kids, about your circumstance that you're going through. And you have a choice now. Am I going to leave it with the one that can do it? Or am I going to take it back, get out of faith, and go down that road again? And you say, how do I take it back? Well, when you cast it on him, cast that financial problem. Father, I give it to you once and for all. When the thought comes, because the thoughts aren't going to stop coming, and you're going to see things in the natural, it's going to bring thoughts. Your job then is to do one of two things, the right job or the wrong job. The wrong job is to then, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? You just took it back. You took it out of his hands. The right job is, nope, that is not my problem anymore. That is God's problem to deal with. And you answer those thoughts. Remember when Caleb was younger and I was sitting at the kitchen table and he brought to me a toy from his playroom. I think he's 3, 4 years old. I can't remember when he was. It may have even been younger. And it was just something that was out of place that he couldn't fix. And I'm not super mechanical, but this wasn't that hard. But it would be hard for a 2 or 3 or 4 year old to do. And he wanted to play with it. He was excited about it. And I could see there's some parts and pieces I need to put back in. And so he left it there and started to work on it. Well, I'm the one that can do it. I'm the one that has the knowledge and the skill to be able to help him with something he can't do. Well, what happened? He came back, got impatient, grabbed that thing off the table, ran in the playroom. I knew it was a matter of time. He's going to come back. He's not going to be happy because it's not fixed yet. Comes back, sets it down. We fix it. I start working on it again. This happened about 3 times. You get impatient. I said to him, finally, I said, buddy, I know that you want this. I know you want to play this. But the more you keep taking it out of my hands, I cannot fix this. And Christians, by worrying, have taken it out of God's hands. When you cast it, you are to leave it with him. And every time a thought comes, you answer that thought, that's not my problem. That's not my problem. That's God's problem. It's God's job to do it. It's God's job to figure it out. Thank you, Father, that you're faithful. Not only is it his job, but you're faithful to do it. He's asking for your problems. Think practically right now. What would life look like if you went through it without a care in the world? How light and easy, just skipping through the tulips, would it be if everything that would attempt to get you in fear and worry, it's not my problem. See, when you have a revelation that's not yours, life changes. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, we're at family down in Pennsylvania, and there's a young couple down there that have two children. And I'm watching them, you know, and good parents, and I'm watching them, but I'm remembering back to when my kids are, and now, you know, I went from being my children's slave to them being my slave, and it's a lot better now as they're getting older to do things for me, and it's just easier, right? I don't have to be concerned with so much stuff. And I'm watching these little kids, and they're going around, and they have a little baby girl, and they're really, how old is she? One-year-old walking, talking, but getting into everything. Corners on tables you're worried about. There's stairs that don't have a gate up, and there's a basement that they can go down, and there's things on the table that they can't get into. And I'm watching these parents, and I hear the dad say, "Holy cow, I'm exhausted." And I'm remembering what that's like. And I'm just sitting back, kicked up in my chair, conking off from tryptophan. That's that chemical in turkeys that knock you out. I don't know if it's true or not, but I felt like it yesterday. And I'm sitting there, kicked up in my chair, not a care in the world. Why? It's not my problem. Now, don't misunderstand me. If I saw the kid start to do something bad, hop up. But in the overall scheme of things, not my issue when the kid walks into the other room. Not my issue when the kid's reaching for the candy they're not supposed to have. Not my problem. I don't give a rip. And I'm thinking, this is so wonderful. Hell on earth for them, heaven on earth for me. Running around, chasing, not my problem. How many times have we been driving down the road and you know, when there's situations where we just can't help or things, yeah, not for, an advocate for not helping people, don't misunderstand me, just telling about a mindset. And you see someone on the side of the road, maybe in like a big city or on the throughway, and you're like, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that's not me right now. And you don't drive away thinking, I'm so stressed about that tire. I'm so stressed about my truck or car breaking down on the throughway and how busy it is and I got to get to work. You just keep driving by. It's not your problem. And if you could have a revelation and renew your mind that it's God's problem, these things that press against you, it is possible or God would not have told you to do it. But you have to get to the revelation. It's on him and he's well able. Nothing's too hard for him. He's faithful to do it. I'm giving it to you, God. I'm leaving it there. And when the thought comes to get you to take it back, for what purpose? To worry and fear, to get you out of faith. Nope, that's not my problem anymore. Where's the money going to come from? I don't know. Not my problem. Smith Wigglesworth, a man of miracles, signs, and wonders, raised, I don't know, 7 or 8 people from the dead. His office manager one time brought him a stack of bills that they didn't have the money to pay for. They gave them to him. He's walking outside on the sidewalk, gave him a stack of bills. Smith Wigglesworth threw him up in the air and said, because she said, what are we going to do about this? He grabbed him, threw him up in the air and said, I don't know, not my problem. Yeah. What was he showing? A mindset and a mentality. I don't know where the money's going to come from, not my problem. How am I going to be healed of this? Not my problem. How's this situation going to turn with my kids? I can't figure it out. Not my problem. Remember what I talked about when I get on an airplane? If all of a sudden I get on an airplane and I start to realize that everybody's trip, whether they're going to get there and get to the place they're going safely or not, is dependent on my knowledge of flying an airplane, guess what's going to all of a sudden come to me? Fear, worry, and anxiety. Well, I can't do it. But when I walk on the airplane, I walk right by that cockpit and all the bells and whistles, and I go sit down comfortably, throw my headphones on, and conk out. Why? Not my problem. How do you fly a plane? Not my problem. I don't even concern myself with it. That's where you need to get with these things. Not my problem. And what that is, that not my problem, it's a declaration of faith. And God's up there saying, ooh, now I can help. Because Jesus said, whatsoever, right, a man believes, he'll receive. If you can have faith for it, you can have it. God said, I just need their faith. Look at that child of God down there. They're facing a naturally pressing situation, but they chose not to worry about it. They're in faith. I can operate. I can do what my word says. Amen. Amen. You need to repent for your fear and your worry and your anxieties. And you need to cast it, you need to stop taking it out of his hands. Every time you worry and stress, you've taken it out of his hands. But every time you answer it, that power of the enemy gets weaker and weaker and weaker, and the faith gets stronger and stronger, and the help and the supernatural help from God flows in your life. That's how you live light and easy. Not a care in the world. Why? He said all your care. You're never supposed to care about anything in no sense of worry or fear. Can you? That's what God said, is flow of light and easy. Not my problem. How are we going to get the new building? Not my problem. How in the world are we going to get $1 million to pay? Not my problem. How in the world are we going to? Not my problem. It's so wonderful when you don't have any problems. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you want to take care of these things. Father, you've invited us to cast them onto you. And Father, all they are is schemes and tricks and ploys of the enemy to get us into doubt and unbelief. And Father, I pray that today would be the answer for people going forward. Father, this is possible. Or Jesus, you would be a liar. Light and easy is possible. Peace is possible. So Father, I pray that each person, this message would be branded and burnt into their spirit, and they would be a doer, not a hearer only. It's one thing to hear this and get excited about the potential of living worry and carefree, but it's another thing to actually do it, put it into practice, and to stand your ground. The Bible says, when you have done all to stand, keep standing. To fight off the enemy's attacks through thoughts and circumstances. It's the doing of this word that will bring the light and easy flow to pass in someone's life. So I thank you, Father. I thank you for our help and our answers. I know that a lot of us have to have a casting off service with you in private later on today, Father, to go forward into the new year with our weight loss program already being successful and keeping that weight off of us. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy and your love. You've helped us today. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I'm not trying to be bossy or tell you what to do. I just want people to be comfortable and not self-conscious. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give everybody an opportunity to enter into a relationship with God the way the Bible says to do so, not by what a preacher thinks or the news or media thinks or family members think or what certain denomination thinks, just what the Bible says. So how do I know that I need to enter into a relationship with God? Well, ask yourself this question this morning in your mind. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I don't wonder if I will. I don't hope that I will. I'm not unsure or don't think that I will. I know 100% for sure that I will. And if you say, how can someone know that they're going to heaven? Well, the Bible tells us how to get there. And the Bible's made it simple. God's made it easy. Let me tell you what it doesn't include. It doesn't include church attendance. Well, I haven't gone to church very much. That does not get you into heaven, and it cannot keep you out. Well, I have a laundry list of things that would be considered sins and wrong living. That can't keep you out, and good living can't get you in. Well, I've not been very charitable, kind of greedy and stingy. No, money can't buy it, and lack of putting money forth can't keep you out. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God loved the world so much that he gave Jesus. Now look at the requirements. That whosoever, you're a whosoever here this morning, would just believe on him, would not perish but have everlasting life. Has nothing to do with coming to church. Has nothing to do with good deeds outweighing bad. It has everything to do with your belief in Jesus. Now, you don't have to understand everything, and belief is not with the head. It's not with the flesh. But in your heart of hearts, if you could say, Pastor Mike, I can't explain it. I don't fully understand it, but I know in my heart Jesus was real. Well, that's the first step. The second step is to call on his name, to invite him into your life. Why? He's not the SWAT team. He's not a robber. He doesn't bust the door down. He's looking for an invitation. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We won't have anybody stand up, come forward, or say anything on their own. This is between you and God. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, I am imploring you and pleading with you. Do not let another moment go by. Things happen in life. This is a free gift. Again, you don't have to ever step foot in a church or in this church ever again. This is about you and Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you say, I want to enter into a relationship with God. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I want his help in my life. Would you just raise your hand real quick? I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody that wants to receive Jesus for the very first time, Again, you're not joining the church. You're becoming a member of anything other than his family. And I like to give this a moment because sometimes people are shy. Sometimes people, you know, get in their head. But in your heart, if you know that I'm talking to you, just raise your hand. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all before we close the service want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Just lift your hand high in there. Anybody before we close? Father, I don't see any hands raised, but I know this, that it's not the hand raising that gets one born again. In fact, if I would have been in a seat and received it this way, I probably wouldn't have raised my hand either. But I want to just let everyone know, it's listening by live stream, that I obviously can't see your hand, or if you're here and you didn't raise your hand, but you should have. Whether you raise your hand or not does not keep you out of heaven. It's what you do with your heart and with your mouth. So if you're here this morning or listening and you say, I want to receive Jesus, get alone with him today. Don't let this moment pass you by, and just do what the Bible says to do. Just pray a simple prayer that sounds something like this. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my life. All you got to say is, I believe in you, and I ask you to come into my life. If you mean that, he'll do his part. And then I encourage you to get a hold of me. And if you're listening and or watching or listening on live stream or in this service, and you say, I just need more help with this, well, call me, text me, email me. Let's get together. I'll talk to you and show you what the Bible says to help you in this journey. But Father, we just thank you so much. Can we just praise him this morning? His shoulders are big enough. Yours aren't. Praise God. He wants them all. He wants you to live light and easy. Father, I thank you that today you're going to get a whole lot of worries and fears and weights cast on you. But I thank you you're able to deliver, to help, to bless us, Father. We thank you for your help. We thank you for the flow of light and easy. We say 2022 will be different for us. We will be less worried, we'll be carefree, which will be mean we're in more faith, which means we get more help and more changes in 2022. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget we have no Wednesday service and there is no fellowship. Love all of you. Appreciate you. Have a good rest of the holiday. We'll see you next year. You are dismissed.